a spell on you. Cause you're mine. Do, 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 do. You better stop the things you do.
I fixed it.
So have at my school district, I don't know, like, if y'all have seen this, it went a little bit viral. An art teacher at a middle school has been put on leave, and it's bullshit because the students designed the yearbook cover, and the design that they picked for the yearbook cover, students designed it. The design that they picked for the yearbook cover has a bunch of like stickers all over it, and it's like represents the year. And one is a Black Lives Matter sticker. One is a like the fist that says I can't breathe. One is a sticker that says love is love, no human is illegal, like different things like that. But anyway, so the yearbook got approved. The students voted on it and chose it. It got approved by the principal and it got published. And weeks later, the like people who aren't even within the community saw it and complained. And now this teacher was removed from her classroom 2 weeks before the end of school. She's been put on leave. I'm really angry about it. It's just like crazy censorship bullshit that all of a sudden the school district is like, oh, some people are angry about this yearbook cover.
Now I'm really so angry about it too. That's fucking bullshit.
I was so angry. I was like reading these reviews because all of the art teachers like in the district are like really, really angry about it. We're like, this is censorship. Yeah. This teacher should not be. And like, one, it's bullshit that the it had to be approved by the principal. So the principal has not been put under administrative leave, only the teacher. And the teacher didn't design it. She just oversaw it. It was designed and voted on and like created by the students. And I was like, got myself all angry reading these like reviews, or not reviews, like comments, because a couple of different like news outlets have picked up the story now, and people are all like, oh, kids should stay innocent. Why are we like getting kids involved in this sort of thing?
Oh,
and I got
God.
So mad. I was like, what a privileged fucking idea that like quote unquote kids should stay innocent, because like Black, Indigenous people of color, like children, don't get to stay like quote unquote innocent. Emmett Till was like what, 15? Trayvon Martin was 17? Like what does that even mean? Like kids should stay innocent. Adults wanting to be comfortable.
The girls are fucking mad about it too.
Yeah, no, they're
I hear.
They are starting to drop their naps. They're very overtired, but they don't want to nap. For the first 45 minutes of bedtime, they're like, oh, okay, I'll just lay here in bed. And then they're like, fuck it, I'm done. Just gonna scream. I mean, I get it. I wish I could just scream into the darkness.
Oh my God. Shit. Oh. Familiars. We're here to talk about familiars. Familiars. It can be a spirit, an animal, a plant, but it's something that has a psychic connection to you, the witch.
And some kind of adjacent things would probably include things that would be more commonly called familial spirits that are associated with your family's tutelary deities.
From the Latin familiaris, meaning household servant.
Yes, thank you very much.
Anytime.
I love it. Yes. Delicious. And I've also seen the term sometimes conflated or used interchangeably with fetch. I've seen fetch variously defined as being sort of an animal type spirit, or even just being sort of a doppelganger or id of the witch itself. So it's more of an aspect of your psyche, or a animal spirit form that you send forth that can go out side of your waking consciousness, but is really considered to be a part of you. But I've also seen it used as being more what we would traditionally think of as an animal or spirit that is separate from you.
Now, I have read that it is possibly a demon?
No, absolutely it can be a demon. Of course, certainly the medieval to Renaissance classical Solomonic legion, pretty much all of them say that they give good familiars. So one surefire way of getting a familiar, if you do not have one and don't know where to get one, is to whip out that old Key of Solomon, get a demon on the horn, and
you know,
have them give you a familiar.
Like you do.
Like, well, the Yellow Pages.
Just comma. Oh, God, does anybody even know what the Yellow Pages are anymore?
Demon DoorDash. That familiar.
There you go. That's more current.
There you go. Yeah, update that reference. Good job. Well, I'm reading also, or I have read also, that familiars were mentioned in the Bible, but referred to, like, the spirit guides of necromancers, sorcerers, etc., and, like, dire warnings. Like, do not fuck with, I mean, also just do not fuck with sorcerers or necromancers, but do not mess with their familiars either. Like, but I am down with familiars. I have a familiar. As most people know, I have two cats, and only one is witchy. The other one is derpy.
Well, tell us about your kittens. Let's just dive into that.
Well,
how did you know that one was a proper familiar, and perhaps contrast that with knowing for sure that the other is not? That would be my first question
yeah.
to you.
So yes, that's a great question. So
thanks. You're welcome.
I really don't know. Yeah, just cut. I hate when people say that's a great question. It's really just me filling for time. I had waited a long time in between the cat that I lost and getting my familiar, whose name is Fox, like Guy Fox, but also we do not call him that. He is Big Boy or Chico Grande or Little Asshole or Why Did You Vomit on the Couch? He was a little baby, and I got him from our mutual frenzy friend, the tea friend. She fosters kittas, and she had this little cat, and she had three others, and they were all adorable, but I don't know, he just really stuck out to me, and so I was really, really scared to get a kitten again, because A, I had just quit drinking, so it seemed like a really big responsibility, and B, I was really, like, we had a dog, too, at the time, so I was very afraid of putting them together, because I did not know how that was going to go. Turns out it's great. They were best friends. But he was, the kitten was just really, like, instantly attached to me. And I mean, I know that kind of is what happens with baby animals. They get attached to whoever the person is that's feeding them and caring for them. But it was like almost unnatural attachment. And it was like right at the same time that we all kind of started hanging out together and doing witchcraft together. So I think it was like, it just, things happened right at the right time. And he has turned into like a literal, like almost an aspect of me. Like when I am bitchy, he's bitchy. When I am upset, he's upset. He has to be kind of, he doesn't have to be by me all the time, but he really wants to be by me a lot. He's very kind of sensitive and very not into, like, a little too serious for a cat and for a kitten, just a little too serious, you know what I'm saying? Like,
well,
and when he plays, he gets real embarrassed. He does not want you to look at him playing at all. He needs silence.
You know, you're talking about having a deep connection with Fox, but, I mean, that's not to say that Chica Chiquita does not also love you very much, but I feel like what you're trying to say is that, like, you feel like you have this unspoken connection as opposed to just the normal level of affection
right.
that you would have for a pet that you love very much and loves you back.
Absolutely.
So there's sort of an understanding. Would that be the word?
Yeah, and I think, too, one of the other key things that kept happening, especially early on in my kind of really deep dive into my practice, was he would always be around. Like, he had to be touching the cards or touching the runes, or like, he just wanted to be in the room when I was doing stuff. He would sleep in my, when we had the other house, I had a separate room that I did all my witchcraft shit in, and he would always want to be in that room asleep. Like, it was just like he wanted to be around my things because he knew that was a real, like, I think he knew that was a special sacred place for me. So it was just like, I mean, I had just kind of read recently, there's like, oh, psychic connection to you. I'm like, yeah, that's exactly, that describes it perfectly.
Well, and little girl, so, I mean, she's probably sometimes interested in what you're doing or in the way that cats like to be in your business, but would you say that, like, when you're doing something witchy or you have an item out that has some kind of spiritual significance to you or you feel like there's a presence that you're, that she seems to be aware of it or not?
Nope.
As
not
opposed
interested.
To Big Boy.
No, not interested at all. Although, I did find her curled up in the witch closet recently, and I was like, oh, this is a new development, because she's usually just, like, does not care, wants to go in there and fuck with shit, but then just, like, fucks off. Like, she's not, yeah, she's way too high energy to be, she's just not interested, I guess is the best thing I could say. Like, she would much rather, like, go chase one of her multiple banana toys than, you know, hang out with me doing witchcraft. And it's just like, you know how animals just have a different personality. She has a completely different energy that is very, I wouldn't say frenetic, but very high vibration. Whereas he is very much like me, very just not sedentary. That's not exactly what I'm trying to say, but like just a serious, get down to business kind of Capricorn-y kind of vibe.
So, in addition to feeling like Chico Grande is, I love calling him that, that he's in tune with you and is very stimulated or interested in witchy goings on, like when you are doing the witchcraft, how does he participate or how does he help you? Like, what is, is that a partnership? Like, how does he function?
Yeah, I do. I do have, like, a partnership with him in that I whisper my secrets in his ears. But I also ask him to kind of help me. Like, if I need to facilitate a certain spell or something that I think he needs to be, I don't know, like, have... It sounds weird. Like, you know, cats are low to the ground, so I think of him as my, like, subterranean emissary. He like can operate on a literal different plane of existence in that he is much lower to the earth than I am, and I'll kind of ask him, like, hey, take this magic that I am doing right now and, you know, carry it around the house and infuse all the rooms with it. I would like to think he knows what I'm saying and does those things. I do feel like when I work with him, it feels pretty strong. Like, he gets it.
See, neither of my, like, corporeal animal pets, I feel like, that sort of connection with, or that they're very, like, interested. My dog is, like, if I start doing witchy stuff, the dog is like, oh, fuck nah. He's just, like, goes to a different room. He's like, I don't want, this is too much for me. And my cat comes in and, like, watches and is like, what's happening in here? But I don't think that it's a witchy or magical sort of thing or anything like that. She's just like, I'm a cat, and I want to know everything that's going on in the house because I'm in charge.
Oh, man, I just had a recovered memory. I don't know why we were doing this, but I had dowsing rods, and I started pointing them at your corgi, and he was not about it whatsoever.
Yes, I do remember that.
He was incredibly alarmed and outraged and was like, do not point that copper wire at me. How dare you?
Listen, Pit Pop does not, like, feel that. I do like, though, how animals, this is a tangent, end up with different names than what you give them. Because Pippin is usually Pit Pop. And my cat, Winston, is either Winstonia, love of my heart, baby Kite, or, like,
that's
sometimes I yell Spawn of Satan. Like, I know, this is her full name. But I yell Spawn of Satan at her so much that she, like, turns to me when I do, and I'm like, Devil Cat Spawn of Satan! Like, she will turn to me, and she'll be like, what, bitch? What? Like, after she's just thrown up, like, on the floor in front of me, and I'm like... So I was like, oh, boy cat. And then I went to get her fixed, and they were like, this is definitely a lady cat. But then I've been calling her Winston for so long, I was like, whatever. Winston's fine. Scarlett, what about you?
Fortunately, cats don't care about our gender binary.
They don't. No, she does not.
I do have some live animals. I have Mr. Herman, who is my dachshund mix. He is a black dog. Originally, because he is very silly, but originally he was not super interested in witchy things. Then I started reading up on a lot of, like, black dog. Little, I don't know why I said that in a weird accent
black
there.
Dog.
I started reading up on black dog lore. Particularly in England, there's lots of ghost stories of people seeing these apparitions of very large black dogs, famously incorporated into a Sherlock Holmes story, Hounds of Baskerville. It's a global phenomenon, and of course, you know, you've got in Greek mythology, Cerberus guarding the gates of Hades. You've got, more familiar to me, Anubis, a black jackal or wolf that is the god of the underworld and embalming. We had a fun chat roulette one time, Brandon and I, with Sholot, who is a Mesoamerican deity who's also a black dog of the underworld. So, and my dog's name is Herman. That was the name he already had when I adopted him. But I rechristened him. His full name is Hermanubis Tiberius Drake.
Love it.
He took my husband's surname. Hermanubis is a uniquely Greco-Egyptian deity that was a combination of Anubis and Hermes, because they recognize that both of those deities are psychopomps. They help guide souls to the underworld. I think when I started, like, really thinking about that connection, and, you know, I would talk to Herman and be like, Anubis watches over you, and, you know, and I talked to Anubis, and he reached out to Herman, and so they sort of have an affectionate relationship. So now I feel like when we're doing witchy stuff and Herman's in the room, he definitely seems more dialed in and seems more aware of, you know, if a presence enters or leaves, he definitely seems to mark that. But he doesn't really participate, and he is not particularly witchy. But I would say that that's an interesting instance of an animal or a pet that was not previously super much of a familiar, but sort of has become a little more interested and participatory. But I have a spirit familiar, and I got it because I was like, I'm a witch, I want a familiar. You Google, how do you get a familiar, and there's like a million stupid guided meditations on YouTube that are like, journey to find your familiar, and I was like, okay, whatever, I get the gist of it, that's fine. So, you know, I did my normal journey, and I was like, okay, so I'm gonna wait for an animal to appear, and that will be the familiar. This is a very common sequence of events for these sort of more modern guided meditations. And of course, there's like normal animals. There's a little raccoon shuffling along, a little catfish in the pond going blub blub, like birds, snakes. And then Blorzbesh arrives. And I was like, that's it. That's the one. Because Blorzbesh is basically a flying monkey.
Oh.
She looks kind of like a macaque or something, but has wings that are partly kind of leathery like a bat, but also have feathers on them. Not a real animal. And of course I was like, what kind of animal are you? And Blorzbesh, who is very sarcastic, is like, I'm a spirit animal. I'm just appearing in this form so that I make sense to you. I'm obviously not a real animal. Also, Blorzbesh doesn't have a gender, but I tend to refer to it as female, just, I don't know, and it's like, yeah, whatever, if that makes sense to you, cool.
Does she always show and up as the same, like, same form for you?
Yes, okay. Generally, yes, but she behaves and speaks like a fully sentient creature, not so much like an animal. And even though she is smallish and very adorable, definitely is not like a pet. First met her and was trying to ask questions. You know, I'm like, how old are you? And she's like, well, I don't have an age. I was never alive. I'm a spirit animal. Also, you partly created me from your own consciousness. So, yeah. So I get a lot of answers, but that's really good. That's
she
a good helper
say,
to have.
Great question.
Great question.
She didn't say that.
Thank you for asking me that. Also, I had a real hard time. If you've ever like journeyed or dreamt, beings are speaking to you in the language that is not your native language. You're like, what? What is it? Can you spell it? And so, but it, as far as I can understand, Blorzbich is not a name from any real source, but seems to be kind of what my brain invented as sort of dog Hebrew. What a person that has not studied ancient Hebrew would think that it sounds like. And so I usually interact with Blorzbich when I journey or trance. I summon her to usually like help protect me or guide me or go with me. Usually things are going along quite fine, but if things seem like, if I feel uncertain or concerned, or she's sort of there as like a, no, we're on the right path, this is cool. You know how it is, like if you're just, you're driving around to someplace you've never been, it feels better to have someone with you being like, no, it's cool, we're not gonna get mugged here, it's cool. Generally providing a lot of emotional support. Sometimes also will hold on to magical items or things for me. For example, I was in a journey one time and was gifted this, not a real key, but a magical key in my mind. And so Blorzbich will hold on to that. Or if I feel like I'm deeply in trance or lost or whatever, she sort of helps anchor me. So that's sort of how I use my familiar mostly. I don't typically send her out, which is a traditional use for a like a spirit familiar, to send them out on errands for you. I tend to do that more with individually created servitors, which I guess if you get really technical about it, would be kind of more of a, would be a use of a familiar.
So I kind of feel the same way about the animal that lives with me, that it's not super interested in anything witchy or being magical or any of the above, because I do have a snake, and he will sometimes poke his head out whenever I'm doing things and kind of look and flick his tongue, and then he just goes back on his little heating pad, and that's about all the interest that I get.
What a life.
Really though, he just like sits on the heating pad after he eats and goes to sleep and then moisturizes and takes baths. I'm like, I'm really jealous of this lifestyle.
Yeah. Sounds awful.
Like, I need high humidity and constant bathing too. That sounds great. But as far as familiars, I feel like I tend to connect more towards plants than animals. And there is a spirit that has kind of been with me, just that stays, it's consistent, and that is snake spirit. So it's kind of funny to have snake with me, and then to have like a physical snake that's not interested.
Right.
Yeah, so things that I guess we work together on is more of, one, it being comforting. That's always nice to have, because I always do feel the presence, especially whenever I start to do witchy things, and it's always in the same spot. So that's a comforting, like, hey, this is good, you know. And then also with the idea of like consumption, as far as like getting rid of energy that I don't want to deal with personally, or stuff like that, where it's like, I want to focus my energy on this, but hey, since you're here, here's a task, do you mind helping? Things like that. And so I do like to leave offerings as well, whether it's smoke or whatever I have with me.
Here's some duckies.
Really though, like, here, you can have one. Pour out some for the homies. But definitely the plants that I have around me as well, since I do have like my rose bushes and
gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've been getting a whole bunch of beautiful, beautiful blooming flower picks, and they're phenomenal.
I am so excited to have my first cactus flower too, because it looks like it's on its way, and
yay,
I haven't had one from that plant yet. So super excited. And I hope that the fruit is the type of cactus fruit that I like, which is just kind of me being selfish, but I'll still eat it if it's the other kind. But there is like a routine with the plants as well, because I'm watering them, I'm fertilizing them, and so there's this connection of like giving and receiving with the plants, and having these thorny guardians outside of the home. So that's like a good connection, and I feel like that would be what would be considered a familiar as well.
Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
I think we all kind of work with our house whites, but I don't really see them as familiars really. Do you have like house spirits that you work with for magical purpose, like do you ask them to do things?
I guess I do. Like, I was actually thinking about this earlier. I was like, do I consider my kobolds familiar spirits? Because right. I don't know. I see the kobolds as being these, I don't know, it feels like a different sort of relationship with the kobolds than what I would feel with, the, like, a familiar. See, when we were, like, thinking, like, planning this podcast out, I was like, you know what, I don't think I have any familiar spirits. I was trying to decide, like, do I consider my Deseer familiar spirits? Like, do I consider the kobolds familiar spirits? Because I do ask the kobolds for help when I'm doing spell work and will working, but it is a very, very much a, like, I'm giving you this thing, I'm making an offering, or it is a mutually beneficial endeavor for us to, like, ward the house or something. Like, it is mutually beneficial for us to do that together. So I'm not quite sure if I would consider that relationship that I have with the house spirits, with the kobolds, the same. I don't see house spirits and kobolds as, like, spirits that necessarily want. I guess when I think of familiar spirits, I think of something that, maybe this is just me getting wrapped up in, as Scarlett pointed out earlier, like the more medieval idea of a familiar spirit. But kobolds and housewives do not care about you. Like, that's been, like, my experience, and in my opinion, like, when I see things on, like, the internet, or people are like, oh, I feel this presence in my house, and they think their house is haunted, usually for me, I'm like, you know, it's probably your house spirits, and they probably just don't like you. Like, and the thing about it is,
they want to interact with you, and you're acting
Like, when people are like, oh, I'm gonna, like, ward and cleanse everything, I'm like, hey, whoa, the kobold was there first, and they're gonna be there after you're gone. Like, they belong to the house, and they belong to the ground, and they belong to the wood, and they belong to the stone, and it's really fucking rude of you to move in and, like, start fucking up their shit. It really belongs to them more than it belongs to you. So, I don't see...
They probably just want an offering. Quit being a jerk. Right?
Yes, quit being an asshole. But when I think about the kobolds, that's kind of where my mind's at. And whenever I work with them, it's really more like, I feel like it's almost like an appeasement thing where I'm like, please take this offering. I live here as well, and I know you're going to live here for longer, so let's just get along. Let's just be pals while we're here together, and it will be good, and it will be okay. Pals. And I think if you can develop that relationship, then you can ask them for assistance with your spell work and with your will working, especially, again, when it's mutually beneficial. When you're like, hey, let's ward the house and protect it, because I'm going to be doing some, like, witchy shit. Let's just make it a safe environment for everybody. That's just, like, mutually beneficial. But I'm not sure if I would... This has become a ramble. I'm not sure I would consider them familiar spirits.
Right,
like,
no, that's kind of what I was driving at, is, like, I don't know, like, to me, there is a difference, right? Because I work with my plants and with the spirits in this house, but not in the same manner that I work with Big Boy. So. Do you need a familiar, though? You don't really need one. You don't need one to, like...
But it's nice to have.
Yeah,
there
nice
is
to
fun
have
to have. Yes. And I think, you know, as witches, we're deep feeling, deep thought kind of people, and we sometimes want something to share those thoughts with. So I think that's kind of at least what my cat does for me. I know he doesn't really understand all my deep thoughts, but doesn't mean I don't tell him. So.
And especially whenever you have, like, a more solitary practice, like, it's fun to have something else that's there with you too. Especially something that's more grounding or can, like, kind of fill in the areas where your energy doesn't naturally flow. So I think that it's cool, it's productive, and everybody knows the best familiars are the friends you make along the way. No, I'm joking.
That was good, that was good.
I wanted to mention, so I read this kind of trash supernatural detective series, of which there are many, and this is probably one of the better ones, but the Kim Harrison Hallow series. And the way that she describes familiars, whether they're animals or they can actually be other sentient or human beings or other humanoid races like elves and things can be enslaved to be a familiar in this fantasy world. One of the things that they do in the way that her universe works is that a primary function of a familiar is to quote-unquote spindle energy. So basically, if you're working with ley line energy or your own energy or any kind of will working, they can kind of behave like a battery or a power bank. For example, in her universe, gargoyles are living creatures, and so they're particularly well adapted to this use because just in her ecology, gargoyles are closely tied to ley lines for whatever reason. But I really like that idea of working with a familiar in terms of either channeling or storing or sort of modulating energy, because just the way that you would actual literal technology in your house, if you're trying to plug something in and you need an adapter or you need a charger, the universe isn't one size fits all. So, you know, a plant familiar or an animal familiar or a spirit familiar can help you as a physical being that happens to be a human work with these forces that maybe you don't quite have the right equipment to deal with efficiently or at all. So I kind of, even though this is from like a rather silly series of fiction, I really find that an interesting idea that I've been trying to explore. That's just kind of a goofy aside.
But that's super cool though. Like, I really love that. And I also think that's a good way whenever you have like deities that you're trying to connect with or like the greater forces, they're familiars, or the animals or plants or minerals are accustomed to being in these environments or working with these deities. And it's also a good way to connect whenever it's not your particular familiar, but something that's familiar with the energy.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think that working with Hecate's dogs, like when I work with her and like hear dogs baying, like I feel like the witchcraft is happening. So I think that especially when you're like, if you're either intimidated to work with a deity or it's a kind of deity or spiritual force that's maybe a little too abstract, that working with some of their animal totems or avatars or symbols can kind of be a more accessible stepping stone, help you to tap into a different side of them. So I like that. That's a really good point.
What about other animal encounters that are not necessarily familiars, but you feel a connection to? Like for me, a blue jay is very representative of my father. A cardinal is very representative of my senior high school English teacher, who was a very, very dear friend and has long since shuffled off this mortal coil. Some birds, I do have some crows that hang around all the time. They are usually always in threes. What about, I know Lily has a crazy, like a bobcat friend that comes around.
No, so this bobcat, like, so the first time that was like a year or two after we moved into the house, but it was this mangled, dead, half-eaten rabbit that was like left in the yard. Then like during that, like, and actually that was around like Hexenacht. Dead animals come to my house around Hexenacht, around Beltane. It was right around that, but there was just like a whole bunch of dead animals, and the first one was the rabbit that was like half eaten and like mangled, and I felt like very strongly that it had been the bobcat that I'd been seeing around that had brought that. But then after that, I had like a series of animals that were found like in the yard. A raccoon was just like dead in by the front door, and then there was a bird that, while I was standing at the back door, just flew into the like the glass door and died. And then there was a squirrel that was mangled and dead in the front yard. And then there was a snake with its head bitten off in the driveway. And it was just like this series of just animals that had like died or were dead around the house.
They're sacrificing themselves to you.
I did feel very strongly that it had to do with the bobcat. And so then this bobcat just like comes and just hangs out on the front porch periodically. We have like cameras, and you will see like they will just come out and just like lay on the front porch during the day too. Like one time my husband like couldn't leave the house for a bit because his car was parked in front of the house and not in the back. and there what the bobcat was just laying in the front porch. So even if he had like
holy
gone
shit.
Around to try to like get to his car, he would have been in the yard with the bobcat, and he was like, I'm just not comfortable with this. The bobcat will come around periodically, and whenever that happens, whenever she comes to the house, I feel like there is a reason for it. The bobcats too, like when I think about like animals that have resonate with me like personally, bobcat was like never on my radar. So
right?
When yeah, it was like not something I ever thought about.
Yeah. Like I know they exist, but they're not like yeah.
But anyway, so when she comes around, I do feel like she's there like for a reason, and that there's something that I need to be paying attention to. It's usually when I am feeling particularly like low or weak that she kind of shows up. So when I first found the dead mangled rabbit, that was like the first time a dead animal has ever like come to the house or appeared. And it was, yeah, it was you, Blackbird, who were like, that's 100% an offering. So after that, like, I made like oregano water and with other like herbs and stuff. It just felt like kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? That spot felt like really open. And so I poured the water and stuff and left like some other things there as an offering too. So I do like when she comes around, when my bobcat comes around, I do also end up leaving offerings because I feel more like she is a representation of like the spirit of the land. More like, because I work with the house spirits a lot, and they feel much different than she does. Like, she is definitely more of like a wild sort of like spirit of the land.
Do you think she's maybe your protector?
Maybe. I mean, I don't like that. Feels very like not grandiose, but it feels like I don't want to put
like her purpose is a little more benign than that, or like less formed than that, maybe.
Yeah, the only spirits I feel have like a super vested interest in me personally are like my Desir, because they've been following my family for so long,
right?
Or my ancestor spirits. The other spirits, right. I work with, I feel like it's not that I am cultivating a relationship with them, and they don't necessarily have like a super vested interest in me. So I guess that really doesn't explain, like, why she comes around when she comes around. So I guess I need to explore that more. But
I feel like the bobcat, or at least the dead carcass in the yard activity, ramped up when you first got pregnant.
Oh, yeah.
So it seems like, you know, obviously you're going through a bunch of anxiety and physical discomfort and anticipation. And you were doing a lot of witchcraft in terms of, like, shoring up the spiritual defenses around your house and, like, preparing to have, you know, a welcoming and safe home and keeping out, you know, negative influences of people that are jealous or hateful or judgy or whatever. So I feel like maybe it was more of a case of sort of like calls to like. Like, you have this going on. You can't help but project it. And you're also generating a bunch of will work around this home, and I think that maybe this bobcat felt it call to her, and not maybe like you say, like it's not like she's your personal protector, guardian angel, and that's all she does all day and all she cares about, but I think she's maybe like, I'm on a wavelength, like I get this vibe that's coming from this place, and we've got a similar agenda and we've got similar concerns. There's something going on at this house that I vibe with, like,
nice.
I get what's going on here.
I didn't even think about the timelines matching up like that, but no, you're absolutely right, and I think that you're definitely onto something there with the light calling to like.
I have always been interested in or felt a connection to fox, but yeah, so fox. I've got foxes. They're delightful. They make very strange noises. I do kind of work with them a little bit because I, like I said, I've always worked with like the sort of spirit of fox as a sort of platonic ideal. And I work with two personifications, one that I call Reynard, which is a very common like folk figure in continental European myths and stuff. and then his mate, who I named Vulpix, which is just Latin for Lady Fox.
Nice.
Also a Pokemon.
Yes.
Collected and been gifted a lot of fox furs and bones and things like that. So I did conduct a formal ceremony because I got this like little wand with a little skinned fox head and a little part of its tail. And I was fairly confident at the time that it was ethically sourced, but then I started to get kind of bajiggity about it. So I did a whole ceremony where I invited, you know, Fox, capital F, and Reynard and Vulpix to, if the live real fox that was the former owner of this skin was harmed in bad faith, and atone for that, to give it offerings and to apologize for that, and to ask its forgiveness, because I, even though I didn't do it, I now am the possessor of this item, and that if it wanted to, if it felt that it was attached to this item and it wanted to leave, it was certainly given license to depart. I did not want to tie it to this object involuntarily. And basically what ended up happening is, you know, the spirits of fox, the ghosts of the foxes that live here, and I presume now the live foxes that live here, invited the spirits of these items that I have to live with them and run around and be happy, carefree fox spirits. So they stay, and I guess they're kind of, I sort of think of them as a familiar spirit, and they definitely accompany me sometimes when I'm journeying, especially if it's in sort of like this like middle realm. But anyway, so that's foxes.
Brandon, do you have any other connections or like, you know, encounters with other animals that you see like repetitively, or I don't know, at all?
Frog.
Oh yeah, frogs.
Yeah. So, I lost it.
It's okay.
No, I really like how we've been exploring like the more like permanent spirit relationships that we have versus like what level of intimacy or what level of like connection is a familiar. And so I do like to think that even though there are more temporary or not lasting connections that you have with certain spirits or animals or plants or what have you, that even if they're there for a time, that's still like a deep connection. So I consider those familiars as well. And so maybe that would be like the Datura that I have that keeps popping up, and right, more seeds have popped up. And so I had this plant that didn't survive a winter storm. It was a mango tree, so it didn't do well in the snow. But now that whole pot has turned into like a little Datura forest.
Wow.
So it's like these things that continue to pop up or are maybe not around consistently because they do disappear for a while before more seeds just happen to resurface. But as far as animals, not so much that stop by. I'm still in apartment living, so there's not a lot of space for them to pop in and out.
Plants, yeah. That Datura, just like, you never know when it's going to come around again. I love it.
It's just never, so, and it will not stop. It is like, I am here to stay, and I'm here.
That is definitely your familiar, for sure.
Right?
It wants to work with you, even if you don't want to work with it.
No, I enjoy it. I love when it pops up. They have a really good smell. It's like a minty, refreshing, like floral scent.
That's
so
awesome.
I was going to mention, there's an interesting book that I'd say I sort of recommend with the disclaimers. But Raven Grimassi, before he passed away, did a book called The Witch's Familiar. The first parts of it are really interesting because he basically is interested in taking this medieval lore that we're a little bit more familiar with, you know, sort of witch trial transcripts of people accusing witches of having these unnatural physical familiars. So they would take on the shapes of like a frog or a cat, but they were definitely seen as being not normal wild animal, something different, either like a spirit or a demon that was taking on physical form or something like that. And this idea of the witch caring for and feeding, like physically feeding this animal. Often, like the witch would feed it with her own blood or milk. And of course, when you get into the goetic tradition of demonic familiars, this idea of making pacts and summoning them and having these seals that you use. And that's much more of like sort of a master-servant relationship, which I just sort of ethically disagree with, but is definitely part of the tradition. So he's sort of taking that sort of vibe of what we kind of think of familiars as and sort of creating a system that an actual witch could use. So, you know, you're taking witch trial documents that are written by people that are trying to burn people as witches and, like, generating false confessions from people they're torturing. Obviously, that information is partly fictitious or dubious or antagonistic towards real magic users. And he's like, well, how can I take these elements that are very evocative, that even people that aren't interested in witchcraft are very familiar with from television and from movies and things, and actually make it into a workable system? He basically introduces a series of sigils. So like a summoning sigil and one where you could dismiss it, or you could a sigil to like dissolve the partnership with the familiar. And most of these sigils are kind of based on Solomonic seals, but he takes out a lot of that like Judeo-Christian element to it, which of course I enjoy very much, getting rid of that. But he took, like, for example, the image of like the witch suckling her toad familiar with her own breast milk, and he was like, so draw this sigil and like boil milk and pass this sigil through the steam of the milk, and then, you know, when it cools, like, you can use the milk to anoint things, or like to kind of like ritually, as if you're feeding it. And I was like, that's really great. I mean, like, that's a very poetic twist to a very wild fever dream of some like witch hunters, and kind of working from this much more formal pact type relationship where you sort of are introduced to this spirit, you enter into a partnership, you're very clear about what the boundaries are, you have a responsibility to this entity to, you know, feed and house and care for it. It's much more working with these sort of more literal medieval ideas of either housing the spirit in a seal or a sigil or a physical space, a spirit house, which I also find very charming. I don't think is necessary, but, you know, is super fun and adorable. And using these seals to, like, summon or banish or direct, or, you know, if you feel like this entity is, like, getting out of hand, he says, well, you can, in pencil, take this sigil that you've drawn and put elements on it that you can either erase or leave. So, you know, if you feel like the familiar, you're having trouble getting it to return, you know, you could maybe draw like four walls of a house around the sigil, or things that are very literal symbols that you are doing in a very symbolic way. And I was like, that's really clever. I like it. So I don't love everything about it, but it was a lot of food for thought for me of like how to draw inspiration from these sort of more over-the-top Hollywood kind of ideas of a witch's familiar, actually making it work. So I recommend it for that, and definitely want to explore sort of these more traditional, sort of more literal, sort of more ceremonial interactions with familiars.
I like that. But
right. But it's complete trash.
That's kind of like where I'm leaning towards with it. Like,
I like it. I just don't. But I'm not doing that.
I like the aspect of working with the familiar and coming up with your own working language to be like, hey, these are what these sigils mean for us. That way, like, I know I can draw this during ritual or really fast and put it somewhere. And to know that energy is working because we have this mutual understanding of, hey, this means this, and that's how we work together. But I tend to, like, steer clear of the more, like, bureaucratic or, like, co-worker type relationships with spirit.
Yeah.
I think that's really strange. I'm not comfortable with it. I like the idea of accidentally summoning a possum with a trucker hat. Like, and I think that that familiar could kick any other familiar's ass.
Yeah. Like,
yeah. I would say that that's an issue he addresses in the book, certainly, like, because a lot of, in the, you know, Lesser Key of Solomon, like, you are commanding and binding spirits, which I find deeply unethical and probably doesn't really work so great. Obviously, like, if you can get something to have a, like Lily was saying, where there's a mutually beneficial partnership occurring that's voluntary, that's obviously going to be way more productive than, like, yelling and screaming and punishing some creature that you probably actually don't even have the power to do that to. That's just fucking rude, right? So that, I mean, he does try to kind of rehabilitate that and take out that language of, you know, master-servant. But I agree with you. There's still an element of bureaucracy and, like, contract and, like, obligations and sort of things like that that don't appeal to me either.
Yeah, that's not how I work with the
But I think that it's possible to, like, take inspiration from some of those and edit that out. And you're like, this is icky. I don't really I don't vibe with this kind of partnership or this sort of hierarchy. I mean, I think that it's interesting to try to see if there's a way to make it work or adapt it instead of just being like, oh, this isn't for me, and just...
Granted, I've never read it, and all I know is what you just told me, but, like, it sounds like, hey, pull out your secret satanic titty and milk for a spirit, and then have them come and be your coworker. Like, and that just doesn't sound like a relationship.
Satanic. I was like, you had me at secret satanic titty, and then you lost me.
Secret satanic titty
locking in.
Be album number two.
That's just what I want to call my boobs now, my secret satanic titties.
Yeah. But it's just one. The other one is not secret or satanic. I always ask my husband if he is named.
I will,
him,
and give me 3 minutes.
I named mine in high school, like, as a joke with my friends, but then it just, like, stuck. So mine are Helga and Roberta.
That's nice.
That's excellent.
Familiars.
Familiars. They should. My boobs are my familiar spirits.
Perfect. I love it.
I should probably explore that idea since my boobs have materials in them that I was not born with. So.
Oh, yeah. I don't know. Draw a sigil and. Draw a sigil.
A sigil is a sigil and a squiggle.
Draw a sigil. A
squiggle.
And put it
love
in between
it.
Your satanic yeah. titties and let me know what happens.
Fun fact, silicone boobs light up like a paper lantern when you shine
we
a flashlight.
We did that.
Through.
I remember that, yes.
Wasn't that in my bathroom? Pretty sure we were in my bathroom. When you guys were rolling around in my robes and shit, and you were like, woo!
Oh, yeah, probably.
That was good times. And then we put a flashlight on our boobs. The end.
Wait, I just want to stop.
What?
I just love the idea that people are, like, tuned into our podcast and they're like, listen to these, like, magical, mystical, witchy ladies. They, like, know things that we're just spreading around.
We do dumb shit. Bad.
But I was, like, thinking particularly about us being in your bathroom. But they're like, and then it's stories about us, like, in robe, putting flashlights on our boobs.
Good times.
Great.
You, too,
lovely.
Can bring laughter and fun to your practice. Do it.
Flashlight boobs.
Secret satanic
titty.
Sunshine titties. I don't know. I was trying to make lots of alliteration there. It didn't work so good. Well, shit. Sparkle is there anything bits. That we have not covered or do we want to talk about more?
Now that we've covered secret satanic titties, I think we've covered it all.
I mean, I think that's kind of the mic drop on this one. Do you guys think that witches need a familiar? Yes or no?
No.
No.
And don't force it either. Don't force it.
No.
Nobody
no.
wants.
So, do you guys summon your familiars?
No.
Your kitty just lives there.
He's just
the
in
plants
the background
are just there.
Throwing up.
Yeah.
Consciously invite her. She's not just like milling around with her little prehensile tail hanging off the chandelier. So we certainly don't bind, you know.
No.
Familiars are friends, yeah. Not coworkers.
Did you know that I like to make lists and that I also really like names and etymology?
You don't say.
Because I've got a whole list of familiars and their names from medieval witchcraft trials. So people who either voluntarily generated these names or were tortured into saying, yes, whose name is Sack and Sugar is my familiar. That is a real familiar name from an actual trial transcript, Sack and Sugar.
Do you have this list? You should put that in the newsletter. Oh my God.
My other favorite one is Vinegar Tom.
I'm into that. I'm into Vinegar Tom.
Generally, names that sound like what you would call a really silly kitty.
Tell us all the ways people can find us.
Scream into the night.
Scream into the void. One of us will answer back.
We're on Facebook.
There's Facebook. There's X-rated podcast at gmail.com if you need to send us
emails.
Your hot takes.
X-rated witches on Instagram.
Instagrams. We're very active on the Instagrams.
X-rated podcast.com.
Still not tweeting. Sorry.
No, we're not on the tweets.
Not doing it.
Not on the
tweets.
Twitter.
Not a magical format. 140 characters, my ass. But yeah, we would love to hear, you know, if you guys have cool ass familiar stories. It's been a pleasure and a delight.
Hocus pocus,
bitches.
That was okay.